वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय शृण्वतां स्वकता कृष्णः पुण्यश्रवणकीर्तना हृद्यन्तस्थो ह्यभद्राणि विदुनोति सुहृत्सताम्। कृष्णा who purifies by the processes of hearing and chanting, who is the benefactor of the devotees who hear about him, enters the hearts of the devotees and destroys their sins. Yasya khilami vahabi sumangalai vacho vimishra gunakarma janma bihi prananti shumbhanti punanti vai jagat All sins are destroyed and all good fortune is created by the Supreme Lord's qualities, activities and appearances, and words that describe these three things animate, beautify and purify the world. On the other hand, words bereft of his glories are like the decorations on a corpse. शृण्वतां गृणतां वीर्यान् युद्धामानि हरेर्मुहुः यथा सुजातया भक्त्या शुद्धेन्यात्मव्रतादिभिः। One who constantly hears and chants about the activities of the Lord, which can destroy sin, purifies his soul by that bhakti. One cannot achieve such purification merely by observing vows and performing Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. Srinvanti ghayanti grananti abhikshanasah swaranti nandanti tavehitam janah taeva pashyanti achirena tavakam bhava pravaho paramam padambujam. Persons who constantly hear, sing, speak, remember and sing to others about your activities, they alone, without delay, are able to see your lotus feet which destroy the influence of material existence. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare.
Janavala Bhagiri Bharatari Oranandana Rajajanaranjana Yamunatiravanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Om Vishma Paramahamsa Rajakacharya Sadasi AC Bhaktivedanta Samsara Prabhupada Ki Jai Namachara Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Sagho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudeva Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopika Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Navadvip Dham Ki Jai Ganga Jamuna Tulsi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrindiki Jai Samaveta Bhakta Vrindiki Jai Gopremanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Guranga, glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanamane Namaste Sarasvata Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastachuresha Tarane Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 2, Verse 46. Ishvare tad adineshu. Balasheshu disatsucha. Kripa maitri kripopeksha. Yakaroti sa madhyamaha. Ishvare, under the Supreme Personality of Godhead, tad adineshu, to persons who have taken fully to Krishna consciousness, balisheshu, unto the neophytes or the ignorant, dvishatsu, to persons envious of Krishna and Krishna's devotees. And prema, love, maitri, friendship, kripa, mercy, upeksha, negligence, ya, anyone who, karoti, does, sa, ki, madhyama, second class devotee. Translation, an intermediate or second-class devotee called Madhyama Adhikari offers his love to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is a sincere friend to all devotees of the Lord, shows mercy to ignorant people who are innocent, and disregards those who are envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport, according to Bhagavad Gita, every living entity within the material world is eternally a minute, fragmental portion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mamai vamso jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. But because of the influence of Maya, the puffed up conditioned souls become inimical to the service of the Lord and the Lord's devotees, choose leaders among materialistic sense gratifiers, and thus engage busily in a useless society of the cheaters and the cheated, a society of the blind, leading the blind into a ditch. Although the community of Vaishnavas is sincerely eager to serve the conditioned souls by bringing them back to their constitutional position, by Maya's influence, the materialistic living entity becomes hard-hearted and rejects the mercy of the Lord's devotees. According to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, although a second-class devotee is eager to preach to the innocent conditioned souls, he should avoid the atheistic class of men so that he will not become disturbed or polluted by their association. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur has confirmed that a Vaishnava should be indifferent to those who are envious of the Supreme Lord. It is practically seen that when such persons are informed of the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they attempt to ridicule the Supreme Lord and thus further deteriorating their polluted existence. In this connection, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur has quoted from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Girayo Mumutsu Toyam Kvachana Mumutsu Shivam Yata Gyanamritam Kale Gyanino Dalate Nava. Sometimes in autumn the water falls down from the tops of hills to supply clean water, and sometimes the water stops. Similarly, sometimes great saintly persons distribute clear knowledge, and sometimes they are silent. In this regard, Srila Jiva Goswami has mentioned that although the first-class devotee of the Lord may at times exhibit apparent hatred towards the demons because of entering the mood of the Lord's pastimes, the intermediate devotee should avoid such feelings. Furthermore, the intermediate devotee should not in any way associate with the powerful atheistic class of men, because there is danger that his mind will become bewildered by such association. According to Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, if a Vaishnava preacher encounters one who is envious of him, the preacher should remain far away from such an envious person. But the Vaishnava preacher may meditate upon ways to save the envious class of men. Such meditation is called sadachar, or saintly behavior. Srila Jiva Goswami has mentioned Prahlad Maharaj as an example of a saintly person. In Srimad Bhagavatam, there is the following statement by Prahlad: Naivo duje paradaratya vaitaranyas tadvirya gayana mahamrata magna chitta socetato vimukha chetasa indriyarta maya sukaya bharam udvahato vimudan. O best of the great personalities, I am not at all afraid of material existence, for wherever I stay, I am fully absorbed in thought of your glories and activities. My concern is only for the fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and maintaining their families and societies and countries. I am simply concerned with love for them. Although a Vaishnava preacher constantly meditates on the welfare of all living entities, he will not associate those who are unreceptive to the message of the Supreme Lord Krishna. In this regard, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur states that even Bharat Maharaj, Vyasa, and Sukadev Goswami do not exhibit their mercy indiscriminately. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has given an elaborate explanation to prove that the discrimination employed by a Madhyam Adhikari preacher does not at all show a lack of mercy. He states that upeksha, or neglect, as mentioned in this verse, is the proper medicine for those who are inimical to the Supreme Lord and his devotees. Indifference from the preacher checks feelings of hostility on both sides. Although there is a Vedic injunction that one should cut out the tongue of a person who offends the Supreme Lord and his devotees, in this age it is best to simply avoid potential offenders and thus prevent them from committing further sinful activities against the Vaishnavas. It is a duty of a Vaishnava preacher to point out the futility of any process besides surrendering to the Supreme Lord. An envious person, however, will resent such strong preaching by a Vaishnava and disrespect him, considering the devotee to be unnecessarily criticizing others. Such a person who cannot appreciate the mercy of Vaishnavas should be neglected. Otherwise, according to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his cheating mentality will increase day by day. No, there's more. Anyway, let's see here. Okay, so this is the second answer First was the Uttam Adhikari, and now we have the description of the Madhyama. And this is expressed here by giving the list of the relationships and a list of the persons to whom they're directed. So we have Supreme Lord, devotees, innocent people, and people who hate the devotees and the Lord. So we have these mentioned first. And then we have the relationship. So we have prema for Supreme Lord. We have maitri, or friendship, with the devotees, adineshu, which means literally means those who are dependent on the Lord, those who surrender to the Lord. Kripa to the balisheshu, which means those who are innocent or ignorant. And upeksha, which means to disregard or to ignore or not to associate with the duishatsu, those who are have hatred in them. Hatred toward the Lord, hatred to the devotees, hatred to devotional service, etc. So we have four attitudes of the devotee, Madhyama devotee, four different types of objects: the Lord, the devotee, innocent people who are not devotees, and people who are enemies of the devotees. So this is the very common or famous verse, often quoted, because the Madhyama devotee is the main type of devotee. Uttama is the best devotee, but he's rare. And yet the Madhyama devotee is the common type of devotee. And the Kanishta is not a real devotee. He's called a Vaishnava Praya, or almost a devotee. So this is the actual definition of the most common type of devotee. So in other words, he is not equal to everybody. He treats them differently. And this is the prema, maitri, kripa, upeksha, different treatments of different types of people. We saw that the Uttamadhikari was everything is in the Lord, the Lord is in everything. So he sees the Lord everywhere, and therefore everybody is equal. Here it's not like that, it's different. He has prema for the Lord, and then he avoids the people who hate the Lord. We don't see that with the Uttamadhikari. He sees the Lord everywhere. And prema is everywhere, as we see in the gopis, for instance. So it's quite a different type of attitude in the Madhyamadhikari. So why is it so different? Different because the Uttama is permeated with prema. And he sees everything in terms of prema because it is so strong. The Madhyama is not permeated with that prema, and he has to advance further. The prema bhakta has no further to advance. He's at the topmost stage. The Madhyama has to get to prema. And to do that, then he has to treat people differently in this material world. He cannot treat them all in the same way. If he does so, then it'll be unfavorable for his advancement. He cannot be completely friendly towards all the enemies. If he does, then he develops bad association, then he gets influenced, then he falls from his position. So we have different attitudes here. If the devotee acts in this way, then he becomes fixed in this Madhyama level and he can advance further and further. If he doesn't come to this level and he's previous to this, that is Kanishta, then it's very difficult for him to advance. He's not actually considered a devotee yet. One has accepted devotees, has accepted scriptural knowledge, etc., and is practicing according to the directions of the devotees in the scriptures. So this is a very healthy sign. So, of course, he has prema for the Supreme Lord, so he's a devotee. The Kanishta also has a love of the Supreme Lord. We don't, of course, here it's not real prema, it is this favorable attitude towards the Lord, they accept the Lord. Uttama has prema. So, but nevertheless, he's developing his devotion for the Lord. So the Kanishtha has some devotion also. So that's a common factor, and that's how the Kanishtha can advance, because he's got some common feature here. However, here we see a difference. He has friendliness towards the devotees. The Kanishtha does not have friendliness towards the devotees. So because of this friendliness towards the devotees, he is able to get knowledge, scriptural knowledge, valuable scriptural knowledge from these devotees. And therefore, he can practice properly with understanding who the Supreme Lord is. The Kanishtha doesn't do that. Therefore, though he does have love for the Supreme Lord, his real understanding of the Lord is quite limited. He's not offensive to the Lord, but at the same time, he could have some confusion about the identity of the Lord, the identity of the Jiva, the identity of Devatas, etc. So, this is an advantage for the person who associates with devotees. We see in the progress of bhakti, we have Shraddha, and then the next stage is Sadhu Sangha. So the Madhyamadikari is one who takes this Sadhu Sangha. The Kanishtha hasn't got that. When he gets the Sadhu Sangha, then he gets to the Madhyama stage. So he has some faith, but that's it. And then he hasn't got the next stage yet. So the real practice of bhakti begins when we get the Sadhu Sangha, and then we do Bhajana Kriya. So that's the beginning of real devotional service. So that we get when we associate with devotees in a friendly manner. So that's called Maitri. Now, here we have the showing mercy to the Balisha, which means innocent people. They are not inimical to the Lord. They're not like the people that hate the Lord. But at the same time, they don't have real affection for the Lord either. So they're kind of neutral, innocent people. So one can show mercy to these people in different ways. And from there, they can develop into devotees. And then one can have friendly relationship with them. So this indicates that the Madhyamadikari is the one who distributes the mercy of the Lord. In the Kanishtha, he doesn't see devotee, non-devotee, anything. So he's not really showing any mercy to anybody. He's just worshiping the Lord. So there is no preaching for him. The Uttamadikari, again, he sees everything in terms of prema. Everything is in the Lord, Lord is in everything. So everything is perfect. So he doesn't see anybody as being needing anything. So therefore, no necessity of giving out mercy anywhere. So the Madhyama, he makes these distinctions. He sees the devotees. He sees the people who are not devotees but are not inimical, and he likes to give mercy to them. And then he sees the people who are inimical, and he avoids them. He doesn't hate them, but he avoids them because it's bad association, like that. So that's the general prescription for the Madhyamadikari. And therefore we have things like, don't preach to the faithless person. So we avoid those persons who are inimical. They're faithless, means those who are opposing the Lord or opposing the devotee. So we avoid those persons and we don't preach to them. On the other hand, he accepts the Lord, associates with devotees, he preaches to the innocent people. So this is very much in line with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. He encourages everyone to chant the holy name and develop taste for the holy name, a taste for worshiping Krishna, etc., in association with devotees. And to give out mercy to other persons. So that is emphasized very greatly in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, to develop a taste for bhakti oneself, to give out bhakti to other persons who are not offenders who are not inimical, etc. Yeah, so that is the basic principle of Lord Chaitanya's movement. So this definition fits quite nicely into Lord Chaitanya's attitude and his conduct and his movement. Huh? So the these principles are useful or necessary for one who would wants to advance in devotional service. He can't treat everybody the same way. He has to see them differently. Huh? And as well, with the devotees, which is here expressed by the word Maitri, there's a further distinction. We have equal devotees, we have lesser devotees, and we have senior devotees. So again, there's a distinction made. So those who are lesser, he gives teachings. So it's more kripa, he gives more kripa. To those who are equal, it's maitri, friendship. They exchange ideas, they exchange prasadam, they exchange gifts, etc. like that, maitri. To those superior, he receives the knowledge. He takes instruction from the higher up. So that's another principle not mentioned here, but that's included in it, in the maitri aspect, the three types of devotees he relates to as well. And this is these distinctions are the cause for advancement of the devotee. It's how he relates to the other devotees, how he relates to the Lord, how he relates to the public, how he relates to the bad association. So all are very important for the person who's doing sadhana bhakti to develop to bhava and prema. So therefore, this is a very important definition for devotees. They have to understand these principles in their relationships with others. Some devotees may not establish relationships. They may not want relationships. We call these the bhajananandis. They go off and they just doing their own sadhana. Still, they have prema for the Supreme Lord or devotion for the Supreme Lord. They're not showing much mercy because they don't preach. But they emphasize upeksha, let's give up all society. So that is emphasized very strongly. However, we should understand that even there, in such a situation of a bhajananandi, it's not the principle that they're avoiding good association either. So the real Babaji will also treasure association with others, like-minded devotees. And they love discussions also. So therefore, Maitri is also there. Now we can say that the kripa is somewhat limited. They're not going out to all the people in the world and preaching. And they preach among themselves only. So in that sense, there's a little bit of a difference between the bhajananandi and the goshtyanandi. So in any case, in sadhana bhakti, these principles are very important. All devotees, devotees in general, have to relate to other persons, devotees and non-devotees. So this is the principle that they follow in developing their bhakti and advancing in devotional service. So a very, very important keystone. So as I said, this is actually where sadhana begins. So within sadhana itself, then, we're going through the different stages, sadhu sangha, bhajana, anartana, riti, etc. And these principles will be applied all the way through into bhava stage. So this is the means by which we advance from one stage to the other, from, let's say, anartana, riti, to nishti, to ruchi, to asakti, to bhava. So in terms of these stages. So, though it's the Madhyama, we should not think, oh, the Madhyama is not so important because he's only in the middle and the Uttama is the best. That's true, but at the same time, in order to get to the Uttama stage, you have to go through the Madhyama stage. So therefore, this is a very important stage for the majority of the devotees. They have to go through this particular stage. started doing sadhana bhakti. So the great emphasis is put upon this particular definition for the advancement of the devotees. Well, here, prema doesn't mean prema, the definition, it just means bhakti. Just like in the material world, they use prema for material love also. Love songs are called prema, but it's not real prema. So here it's prema, it just means bhakti for the Lord, so like sadhana bhakti, devotion to the Lord. Yeah? Well, in sadhana bhakti, the definition of sadhana bhakti is engagement of the mind and the senses in such a way that you get to the bhava stage where you realize the Lord. So it's basically engagement of the senses of different ways.
In Uttama level, they don't do the practical service, they just meditate.
Oh, well, the definition is a little different. The sadhana is the engagement of the senses to get to bhava. And bhava is the result of that engagement of the senses. And what is bhava? Bhava means you realize the Lord, which means you develop spiritual senses. So obviously you're looking at the Lord and using your spiritual body to serve the Lord. So it's a little bit different. You're no longer just using your external senses to get that. Rather, we say the external senses follow the internal senses at that stage. And it's not a matter of sadhana anymore. So we're using the senses to develop bhava. Once you got bhava, the senses, the spiritual senses and the material senses which follow, are simply, a spontaneous service for the Lord at that stage. So it's called anubhava. We may cook for the Lord or whatever like that, either in meditation in our spiritual body or actual cooking. So at that stage, it's an anubhava. It's no longer a sadhana. Because the sthayi bhava has arisen already as bhava. That's the actual loving relationship with the Lord. So the sadhana is the engagement of the senses to get that sthayi bhava manifested. Once that's manifested, then we have anubhavas, which are the same actions, can be the same actions, but they're no longer a means to get to somewhere. They're an expression of the bhava itself. What's that?
How come a soul is able to take up to the service of the Lord or the association of the
Lord? Well, we start with faith. That's the qualification for bhakti. So faith is a favorable attitude towards the Lord. It's not a bhakti, there's no action involved, but the attitude is favorable to the Lord. So one accepts the Lord to some degree. That's the qualification. Once we do that, then we can voluntarily accept the scriptures. And then with that, with faith in the scriptures, we follow the scriptures, and we start engaging ourselves, and through that, the bhakti develops from the faith. So in other words, the jiva develops internally more attraction to the Lord, and that turns into bhava at a certain stage.
Maharaj, sometimes this madhyama stage is divided further into kanishta, madhyama, and uttama. So how do you understand those stages?
Well, I've heard that, but I've not seen it expressed by Jiva Goswami or Rupa Goswami. So I don't know, maybe somewhere in some scripture, but I've never seen it. But it's obvious that each stage can have divisions also. Even the Uttama stage will have divisions. There's different stages within that as well. So obviously within Madhyama, which is quite a huge stage, we can say there are different stages as well. But I've seen it nowhere systematically defined.
And Maharaj, how do we see the... there is so much of emphasis on Vaishnava etiquettes. And do we understand that, like Lord Chaitanya said, it's the ornament. So do we see it as a lubrication for the... to facilitate all the relationships that we're talking about here?
What is the ornament?
The etiquettes. The Vaishnava etiquettes. Because these become very important at Madhyama stage. Otherwise, the relationships will not...
We can say any other aspect of etiquette probably is based upon the respect in these different relationships, probably. I don't know. We have to analyze each etiquette because it's so vast. amount of rules. So, but we can say the basis is the relationships with different devotees.
And Maharaj, when book distribution is going on, and sometimes I've seen devotees, they will go and try to inspire people from other religions. Mm-hmm. Especially I've seen Muslims who are, with their physical dress itself, we know that they're practicing Muslims.
Mm.
And we try to distribute books to them.
Mm.
So how do we understand? Because sometimes it's said that preaching to faithless, they may have faith in Lord, but they don't have faith in Krishna. They don't have faith in Vedic scriptures.
Yeah.
So one way they also are faithless.
Mm.
And we try to, so they also already practicing Muslims, and their philosophy and our philosophy has a lot of contradictions.
Mm.
So, I mean, is it okay? Is it proper, or how do we see that?
Well, if there's hostility, then automatically you wouldn't. If they're interested, then you could. It would depend on the person. Yeah. Just among Hindus also, you find Hindus that are favorable and unfavorable. So we don't want to, if they're attached to worshipping Devatas and you say worship Krishna, they don't do it. So, I mean, we don't force the issue.
What I've seen is, Maharaj, we really don't know. But they're okay, they're not inimical that, no, I don't want. But yeah, they may take a copy.
Yeah.
But what I'm concerned about is when they open the book and they start reading, what they do to that scripture, because definitely from the beginning itself there is contradiction.
Yeah. Well, it depends. If they're going to take it, I would assume they're not really inimical. So if they read it, then they would maybe be puzzled by it, but they may not be, they probably wouldn't be offensive. They would just put it down and not read it anymore. They wouldn't be so interested in it. And if they were more interested in it, they may read the whole thing and then become a devotee also. So it's just a little bit of a chance involved in that. But basically, we don't want to give to people who are actually inimical, and we can see that they are. Then we don't bother with those people. Let them, you know, be like that. Yeah. Well, of course, the opposite may happen. They read it and maybe get convinced also. We hope so. That may also be there.
Yeah. And then they end up becoming devotees also. Depending on Damodar Prabhu's thing, Prabhupada went to the West.
Yeah.
He gave the books most of the Christians and the Jews.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they took it up and they...
Yeah. Well, see, a lot of people in the modern world, they're just conditioned, that's all. And they don't necessarily believe, it's just their tradition, more or less. So, and if they do read something, well, they may change their mind. We don't know. So those people are like the innocent, more or less. They may have some idea, but they're willing to change also if they get some good reason to.